الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل الصالحة فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون شيئا. Are those in the back able to hear nicely? Everyone in the back can hear properly? Inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very kind to every single one of us. That Allah blessed us with this wonderful deen. And Allah gave us the commands of Islam because Allah loved us. What Allah made haram, Allah made it haram because Allah loved us. And what Allah commanded us to do, Allah commanded us to do it because Allah loved us. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Damat Barakatuh gives one example. He says there's a father, he's a multi-billionaire. And a time comes in his life when he feels soon I'm going to pass away. So he calls his children and he asks his children to come to visit him. He says on so and so day, that afternoon I want you to free for me. I want every one of you to come to visit me on that day. And you must make sure you are there. If anyone is missing, I will be very angry. If anyone is missing, I will deprive you of inheritance completely. If anyone is missing on that day, I won't speak to you one word for the rest of my life. Why I want you all to come? Because all this money I made throughout my life, my billions, I want to distribute it now in my lifetime. So my sons, you make sure you are attend, make sure you are available. Everything else must be left aside, I am first. So when anyone in the world say that father hates his children, that's why he's threatening them like this. Does the father hate his children, that's why he's becoming angry? Or he loves his children, that's why he's becoming angry? He wants to give everything to his children, so he's giving them this opportunity. You make sure you are there, don't miss out. Because if you're going to miss out, you're going to miss out on an opportunity of a lifetime. When Allah tells the Muazzin to call us, Allahu Akbar, then Allah is telling us that this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Allah who is the greatest is calling you. And he's calling you to your complete success of deen, dunya and akhirah. Don't ever lose out on this opportunity. Make sure you are here. Make sure you attend the masjid. Make sure you perform salah. That person who performs salah that day, he has achieved success. The one who missed out on that salah, he is walking down the road of his destruction. Allah gave us salah, and salah is the most important aspect of our life after iman. Our relationship with Allah is built on iman and salah. Musa alayhi salam was given nubuwa, first command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innani ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana, fa'budni. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give da'wah. The hadith explained the first thing he would teach somebody after the person embraced Islam, salah. If a person had studied the incident of As'ad bin Zurara, radiyallahu anhu, and how Islam spread in Medina Munawwara, Sa'd bin Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu, Usaid bin Hudayr, radiyallahu anhu. So As'ad bin Zurara was the host, Usaid, radiyallahu anhu, came to fight with Mus'ab bin Umayr, who's calling people to Islam. After Mus'ab recited the ayat of Quran to him, then Usaid was so affected, he said, I understand, I am ready, what's required from me? He said, what's required from you, go and have a bath. Come back, recite Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and perform two rakats of salah. Islam begins and ends with salah. Allah has made it our greatest means of communion with Allah. From the beginning of Islam till the ending, the first commandment after Iqra, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, was the command of salah. A period of time came when even salah of the night was made compulsory upon the entire ummah. Half the night, a little more, a little less. But such a long period of salah each person had to perform. It was the training to connect every person's heart to Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the world also, what his advice was. My ummah, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. According to some reports, these were the last words which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. My ummah, one thing you don't ever miss is salah. Allah made it that majority of us are young. And being young, alhamdulillah, it means that to some extent, we haven't missed out on so much salah. Now, why I want to speak about this is to ensure that inshallah in the future we don't miss out on salah. This gift which Allah has given us, Allah is calling us and Allah is also warning us. The warnings come, and severe warnings come. Warnings come regarding qabr. And what will happen to those people who do not perform salah? In the grave, the first steps of a person's life in the hereafter begin. A mu'min who loves salah, even in his grave, he will be anticipating. It seems like the sun is setting. I need to perform my asr. I can't miss my asr salah. Mu'min's worry that is. And on the other hand, that person who had no connection with ibadah, then salah will not appear to help him. When salah will come by every person's head side to assist him, there won't be any salah in a physical form to assist you on that day. Qiyamah day, Quran speaks about how serious it will be. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقَ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. On Qiyamah day, Allah will manifest the saq. It is one very special nur of Allah which is beyond human imagination. And it will be manifested on that day. Qari Muhammad Tayyib rahimahullah in one of his kitabs mentioned, he said that this fixed above, tarhaquhum zilla, disgrace will envelop them from all sides. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. The hadith explained that his back will become stiff, as if an iron rod, a metal rod has been placed in the back. And Allah said, the reason why we are not allowing you to prostrate today is, in dunya when you were called for salah, you were not there to make sajda. Qiyamah day. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, man hafaza alayha, whoever is punctual with his five times salah, kanat lahu nuran, wa burhanan, wa najatan yawm al-qiyamah. His salah will be, somebody will think impossible to cross. Every person who will cross it miraculously. Allah will give people the strength and the ability to cross it. Some people like the blink of an eyelid. Some people like the flash of lightning. Some people as if they are riding on a fast horse. Some people will be running. Some people will have to crawl right across. And some people will fall and they'll fall headlong into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Salat on that day will be a noor on that bridge. Wa burhana, in front of Allah, salat will stand up and it will say, oh Allah, this man is a mu'min. He performed salah his entire life. He made sure that this command of yours was taken care of. Wa najata, salah will ensure that a person is saved and he enters into Jannah and he does not go via Jahannam. Wa man lam yuhafiz alayha, that person who is not punctual with his salah, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورًا وَلَا نَجَاتًا وَلَا بُرْحَانًا. There won't be any nur for him. He will not get salvation. There will be no proof to his iman. And on the day of Qiyamah, he will be, the hadith ends, he will be raised up with Fir'aun, Qarun, Haman, Ubay ibn Khalaf, the leaders of the kuffar. And those who don't perform salah, they will be in one category on the day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us all. Jahannam, Quran speaks about Muslims will ask the kuffar, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What led you here into Jahannam? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَّلِينَ. The answer will be our salah wasn't performed. We were negligent about salah. Other problems they also had. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Rejected the day of Qiyamah. But one of the main reasons of their landing up in Jahannam, which they will remember on that day, is that there was no salah in our life. So Jahannam also this warning, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Destruction. Wail is a valley in Jahannam. A person will be thrown off from a cliff and he will continue falling for 70 years. Can you imagine the feeling which will go through his body? The fright, the fear, and after 70 years he will crash down into the fire of Jahannam at the bottom. What will happen to his bones? What will happen to his body? Unimaginable. And then his body will just be brought together again and he'll be made to climb. And he will be thrown off again. Allah says, wail for those people who الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They perform salah, but they're not punctual with their salah. In Quran, with the ayat we had recited in the beginning, there will be some people who will come after the Anbiya. And this more so applies to the scholars and the students of ilm. There will be people who will come as the replacements of the Anbiya. We call ourselves the inheritors of the Anbiya. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. They will neglect salah and they will follow their desires. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu said, what it means? That their main worry in life will be, I must drive a smart car. He said, ride a beautiful conveyance. We will say, drive a smart car. And their main worry will be, I must live in a beautiful house. And their main worry will be, I must enjoy a lot of wealth. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They may soon have to face and encounter the cave of غَيْ. غَيْ, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained, is one cave of Jahannam, which even Jahannam is frightened of. Jahannam asks Allah's protection, oh Allah, save me from this غَيْ and its evil. The ulama of tafsir write, in غَيْ, every kind of punishment of Jahannam will be brought together. And this ghay will be for those people who committed zina, who committed murder, who enjoyed interest, who accused innocent women of zina. And it will also be for those people, Quran says, who neglected the salah. Our first duty. Why I'm saying all of this? Remember what I said in the beginning. Allah gave us these warnings. Why? Not because Allah doesn't love us. But because Allah wanted to make sure, my dear servant, you don't fall into the same mistake. I don't want any single mu'min to enter into the fire of Jahannam. Just yesterday, I came across something unrelated, but I'll just share it with you. There was a Muslim couple, and they were traveling, they were going somewhere. So they entered into the plane, and just behind their seat, there were three non-Muslims who were seated. So the non-Muslims decided we'll poke fun on these people, we'll make a mockery out of them, these Muslims. And unfortunately, many places in the world you'll find this, what we say Islamophobia. So they started speaking, so the one said, that you know my company asked me to go to Saudi Arabia. But hey, I can't go there, too many Muslims. I can't stand these Muslims. Another person said, yeah, I was thinking of going for holiday to Pakistan also. But hey, I can't go to that land, too many Muslims, I hate these Muslims. Third person said, he said, you know, these Muslims, you can't get away from them anyway. I went to France also. And I found so many Muslims there in the streets also. Wherever you go, you find these Muslims. So the Muslim man turned back and he looked at the man. He said, I have a suggestion for you. Why don't you go to hell? I hear there's no Muslims down there. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can take Allah's warning seriously. And we can make sure for ourselves that we don't have to fall into wail and we don't have to fall into ghay. Me and you have to all make a concerted effort that I am going to die and leave this world and I won't have one single salah which is left in my account. My condition must be such, Allah give us all tawfiq. How lucky and fortunate are those people. They left this world in sajda. There is one incident I normally share with my friend. I myself, I'm very inspired by it. There was a girl in a place called Abha. And it was her wedding night. She was getting married. after the Isha Salah. So a beautician was called and the beautician did her up and she put all makeup for her and he did up her hair and she was ready now for her big night. And as they about to leave now for the hall, which is in any case not a very good thing, but khair anyway, just understand the lesson. As they about to leave for the hall, this girl hears the adhan. And she tells her mother, she said, Mommy, I can't go. I have to perform my Isha Salah, but my wudu broke. So her mother said, my daughter, the guests are waiting for us, it's late. We need to go right now. And you can't make wudu now. The lady just finished putting on your makeup. There's no way you can wash it off tonight. So the girl said, Mommy, I have to perform my Salah and I have to make my wudu. So the mother said, how dare you? I'm your mother. Don't you know you must listen to your mother? Islam commands you must listen to your mother. Don't talk of making wudu now. Right now you join me. We are going to the hall. So the girl said, Mommy, I'm sorry, I can't. I also learnt Islam commands us to obey our mothers. Islam also teaches us, لَا قَعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. I can't disobey Allah and make you happy. So the mother said, and she used now a different tactic, what we call reverse psychology. So she told her daughter, if you go to make wudu, you're going to wash off your makeup, your hair is going to become undone. When you go to the hall, what will the guests say? They'll say, is this the bride? She doesn't even look beautiful. She doesn't even look pretty. She looks like an ordinary girl. So the girl said, and may Allah give me and you, all of us, the jazbah. She said, Mommy, it's all right if the guests say that I don't look beautiful. The only one who I have to be beautiful for is Allah. And Allah will only consider me beautiful if I obey His command. It's a long night and I don't know if I'll get a chance of performing Isha. I have to perform my Isha now. So this girl went. Her mother was angry. She made her wudu. She started her salah. Her first rakat was completed. In the sajda of the first rakat, this girl passed away. She went to meet her Allah. So the person who quoted this, they said that really this girl was so beautiful for Allah. She made Allah first in her life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her that kind of honor. All of us, we have to make Allah first in our life. And we have to make salah. One person said so nicely. He said one day he had a business meeting with someone and it was in a place where people would come to stay, like a kind of hotel or a resort. So he went to the resort, it was a business meeting, he was waiting for the person was late. So he asked one of the workers there, can you give me some place, I need to perform my salah. So the worker said, no problem. They took him to the place, there was a room which was kept aside. So he said, as I'm going to perform salah, now a few workers are walking past. So one worker walked past, I made salam to him. I wasn't even sure, is he Muslim, not Muslim. And after making salam to the worker looked at me. I said, sorry, I'm just going to pray here. So he said, enjoy. And the person said, what a lesson it was, it struck the bottom of my heart. He said, the person didn't say, go ahead. The person didn't say, very good. The person didn't say, welcome. The person didn't say anything, he said, enjoy. He said, I never ever looked at salah as something to enjoy. Allah give me, you all of us, tawfiq. Salah is the love, is the time when we are actually able to be with our beloved. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Our greatest beloved is Allah. In sajda we are the closest to Allah. But the sad reality is in our sajda also, Zainab, Aisha, Fatima, they all in our brains. And whoever else it may be or whatever else, Allah protect us all. That time was the time when I am closest in communion with my true beloved. Pure love, real love. Allah is the one who loves me the most. And I am supposed to be the one who loves Allah the most. Allah make our salah opportunity of enjoying. The person said that one word, it changed my whole concept of salah for the rest of my life. When I stand in salah now, I say to myself, don't forget, enjoy. For most of us, the person said, he said, for most of us, salah has turned into just one responsibility. So we take salah as a burden. He said, salah is not something which interrupts my day. Salah is actually the very purpose of my day. Salah is not a burden that I have to fit in. Salah is the greatest gift that Allah gave. He said when Allah's Rasul it was, when he said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, the coolness of my eyes, Allah kept in salah. So what I wanted to just share with everyone here, alhamdulillah, we are young. And if we have missed any salah, it's very little. And if, unfortunately, we were not punctual, tawbah is easy. As we grow older, tawbah becomes more and more difficult. To make changes in our lives become more and more difficult. As life goes on, this is one norm. Three people, they had traveled, they went to another country. They went to America, and in America they had went for some games. So there was they were looking for accommodation, no accommodation to be found. There was one hotel. And this hotel was 60 floors. The people said that we have only one room available. If you want, you can take the room. If you don't want, that's your business. So the boy said, we'll take it, no problem. We have nowhere else to sleep. They said, one condition. The room is on the 60th floor. And at 12 at night, the hotel is closed. From 12, no one is allowed to... Sorry, not the hotel, the lifts. The lifts are not able... We can't use it. If you come after 12, that is your business. You must decide how you want to get to the 60th floor. They agreed. So the first night they came back, and it was 11:45. They were very happy. The second night they came back, it was 11:55. They were very happy. The third night they came, it was 12:05. Now there's a big problem. They went to the lift, they saw the lift has been closed, locked, there's no way they can go into it. They spoke to the person at reception, he said, sorry, I can't help you. What to do now? They decided we'll have to climb. They said, how are we going to climb? So they made an agreement between themselves. One said, 20 flights of floors, I will tell you jokes, it will pass our time. The second one said, 20 flights of steps, I will tell you sayings and words of wisdom, it will pass our time. The third one said, 20 flights of steps, I will tell you sad stories, I'll make you all cry, it will pass our time. So they went, first 20 floors, the first man is joking, and everyone is enjoying themselves. They passed the first 20, they came to the second 20, and the second person starts telling them sayings, words of wisdom. Everyone is touched, they're affected. They come to the last 20, so the person who has to tell them sad stories starts. And he tells his friends, he said, okay, I have to tell you some sad stories which will make you cry. So the first sad story is that I forgot the keys downstairs in the car. So one person mentioned this, he said, what's the lesson we learned? He said, the first 20 years of our life is a time of amusement and play. We don't ever think that, you know, I have to use my time valuably. And the second 20 years of my life is a time of maturity. Now you get a bit serious. I have to get married. I have to get a house. I have to look after my children. I have to get on my feet. I have to build my empire. And he said, when you come to the third step in life, the last after 40, now your bones are aching and your back is hurting and you're getting sickness after sickness. He said, now at that time, a person has to think to himself, that you know what, I need to do a reverse. I need to go back down the stairs because I have to replay my life. At that time, the reverse is very hard. And at that time, what you will say to yourself, if only when I was on the first or second floor, we remembered that we forgot the keys. At the age of 40 and 50 and 60, if you say, if only when I was 12, I realized the importance of salah. It's not too late, but it is a bit late. Now the reverse, to go back, to make that change is not so easy. Allah made us young, we can change very easily. We can change ourselves, we can change the ummah. One of the things that we need to do, promise Allah, we're not going to miss salah. Second thing we need to do is, whatever salah is outstanding, complete it. Make sure there is nothing left in our account. Our qada, our relationship between me and Allah must be clean. Mufti Ibrahim Salehi is a very senior alim of our country. I was in a jalsa once and he mentioned this incident. He said that there was a person, a friend of his, a very wealthy businessman who came to visit him. The man said, I want to change my life. So Mufti Ibrahim Salehi said to him, to change your life, the first thing you need to think about is, if you have to pass away tomorrow, money, I have no intention of paying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person borrows money from someone. He has no intention of paying and he doesn't pay before he passes away. On the day of Qiyamah, benefit him, when his soul is going to be locked in his grave and not allowed to go into Jannah. How will my sister? Allah give me and all of us realization. There shouldn't be rights of people upon us. We've done someone down, we cheat them for forgiveness, or do something by which you can end your matter with them. As for the rights of Allah, make a calculation, estimate. How is troubling me? I had doubts about my sincerity. I wasn't sure if I have istiqamah or not. But he said, "Aqra salah." Calculate. Go to an alim. One girl wrote, she was writing her incident. There are a few other things I wish to mention, but the time is finished. Allah give tawfiq, inshallah. To repay those salat which we had missed. So she said, I decided. She said, at 25, in my mid-20s, I decided, I'm going to make it. And I made it my goal that every day I will catch up one salah. She said, nothing else in my life I ever persevered with. Nothing else I had istiqamah. This was the first thing. This girl went for Hajj. She said, in this period of time, she became an alima. Salah is not a bore and a burden. Oh man, I have to still perform my qadha. It's another chance to speak to my Creator. Salah, try to make sure we're performing our sunnah mu'akkadah. Besides that sunnah, ghayr mu'akkadah, nafal salah, the ulama say, for the sake of qadha, those salah can be replaced. So instead of your sunnah ghayr mu'akkadah or your nawafil, make qadha in that place. Sometimes you will find easily in a day, you can make one salah, two salah. However, this is my happen qabr. What's going to happen on qiyamah? What's going to happen in jahannam? Every one of us, we all make a promise to Allah, inshallah. From today we'll perform our salah.